Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. And I have a really very interesting podcast for us this evening. I'm speaking with Alexia Rodriguez, and she's a Laotian breeder. She's a member of the Judges Education Committee. She's the Western Director for the Laotian Club of America. And I had no idea. I actually showed a Laotian. I had no idea Laotian were so low number that you guys are actually literally concerned about saving your breed. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's kind of amazing. They're an adorable little breed.
Yeah. They're probably the best kept secret of small dogs. The most disturbing thing about the breed is that because our numbers are just getting smaller and smaller, it's actually projected that by 2044, the breed would go extinct.
Oh my God. Okay. So I just left like this giant pause there on purpose. Because that's kind of terrifying.
It is.
All right. So let's kind of back up a little bit. Give us the 411. How did you wind up involved with Laotian? I know you're also involved with Cane Corso. So Give us a little background. How did this all kind of turn into the Mutt and Jeff parade? I
mean, seriously? Oh, you know, bought one at front of the pet store. No, actually, I started off when I was 12 years old with Japanese chins. Okay. And I got into Japanese chins because I wanted a dog really bad. And my mom looked up the rarest dog that was small in the dog book that we got from the library. And it was a Japanese chin. She thought we would never find one. So she said, this is the only breed of dog that you can get. And lo and behold, I found one. It was at a pet store. This was the late 80s, so nobody knew about puppy mills, and it was just newspapers back then.
Right?
Yeah. So I think that because of that, I've always had an affinity for the rare breeds, for the weird breeds. Mm-hmm. So that was how I got into dogs, and of course I started showing them because I got a flyer at school. And I went to this little fun match. I entered in junior showmanship with my little pet store bought Japanese chin. And I got fourth place in a class of five kids. And I was hooked. That was it. And I made my mom cart me around to dog shows. And finally, I don't remember how long it took, but we finally found another couple that had Japanese chins. They ended up giving me my first show dog. And the rest is kind of history. Now, Laotian came into the picture after I met my husband, and he was the one who had the Cane Corsos. Okay. So that's how I got into that breed.
Okay.
Yeah, I still love my chin, but I wanted a breed that was a little more sturdy, a little bit more trainable, something that was more active, something that we could take to the Schützen field when we were working the Corsos and also do some obedience with and that sort of thing. And the Laotian is just perfect.
They're just the coolest little dogs. I ran across them at a handling class that I gave in Nebraska, like I'm talking 10, 12 years ago, and fell in love. To the point that I insisted that when my partner was looking for a new dog to special, I'm like, hey.
And I think that's so easy.
Right? Yeah. And that's when I met you, is when I had Dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he was from Donna Jones, who is one of my mentors, right?
Actually, no, he's from Canada.
Oh, from Alicia Schmidt? Kim and Alicia?
Yeah, Kim and Alicia Schmidt. Exactly.
Okay. Yep. Cool. Very cool. Such a cool breed. I mean,
I love them.
They get along with everything. They don't shed.
You shave off half their hair.
Right. It's the easiest thing. Right? What, you know, what dog show person who doesn't want to deal with a lot of hair while they're half shaved?
So we've decided Laotian are cool.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how you ran into Laotian. And so how long have you been involved with the breed? And now let's go back actually for a second. Laotian lotion.
We don't care.
Okay.
We just want people saying the name. We really don't care.
I love that.
In German, it's pronounced Lotion. So Americans can't pronounce that. So if you say Laotian lotion, Lochen, we, you know, just be interested in the breed.
Awesome. Okay. So you started this show by saying that this breed could be extinct within 25 years.
Correct.
So how many Lotion are there in the US, in the world? What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Okay. So I had to pull up Jenny Chen's amazing PowerPoint regarding this.
And we're going to provide links to a lot of this stuff for the blog post.
Yeah. Right now, it's not looking good. The registrations just for 2016-17 in the US is around 80 dogs.
Wow. Total.
Total. Total. It looks like the country that has the highest, and Jenny will have to correct me if I'm wrong, is probably Australia.
Interesting.
With like just over 100, maybe like 120.
Registrations you're talking
Registrations,
about.
Registrations, mm-hmm. Right, for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not many. There's really not that many. And then litters per year, looks like from 2015 in the U.S., there was 18 litters born in 2015.
Okay, 18's better than Harriers, I'm going to tell you. We just did Harriers, but that's not much.
It's not that many. It's not that many. And I probably had two of them. So,
wow.
And our average litter size is 3 puppies.
Oh my gosh. Now that is definitely different than some of the other breeds that are endangered because you have so few.
Right, right. So, you know, my typical litters, the smallest I've gotten is 2. You know, the biggest I've ever gotten is 4. I just heard of one litter where there was 5 in the U.S., but that's unheard of. I mean, that's just not normal. And based on Jenny's calculations, about 37% of Lochen in the United States contribute to the entire gene pool. So we're dealing with a pretty low number of dogs that are contributing here.
Right. So you have not only low numbers, but you have a very narrow gene pool.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Laotian as dogs. I can just speak out. I'm telling you, I love them. But let's talk about the breed. Talk about their temperament. Talk about how they are to live with. Talk about grooming, all of those pieces.
They're perfect, Laura.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had one here in the Northwest where it rained all the time. It was not quite perfect.
They're perfect. They're so easy. I think the thing that I love the most about them is that they can be high-level agility dogs and performance dogs. But then they are just as happy to lay down on the couch and snuggle for 3 days if you don't feel like going outside. I mean, they are really adaptable. The coat, for a coated breed that's a show dog, it is easy. You can go tracking one day and then the next day give them a bath and blow them out and they're ready for the ring. I mean, it's a relatively easy coated breed to deal with.
And there's the whole part about you shave half the dog off. So I'm saying.
Right. Right. So if they have an accident in the crate on your way to the dog show, you don't have to give them a complete bath. Usually it's not like a Havanese or something
right.
like that.
Right.
After they go through the coat change, just like any non-shedding breed, it's relatively easy to deal with. I mean, it's really not that bad.
Right.
If a smooth-coated Cane Corso person can handle it, I would say most people can handle it.
Well, I can tell you that as a handler of primarily big working, you know, drop coat breeds are not in my, you know, like bailiwick, all right? And I managed. And there were times when it was wet and rainy and he had to go out and I'm crying as I dried him for the third time that day. But truly, I think they are pretty low maintenance. And
yeah.
I love the history of the breed. Can you give us some of that? Because it's such a fabulous story.
So there's quite a few legends about the Lochen. It was a breed developed in Europe and Germany, and I think in like the 1400s was the earliest tapestry.
Old. Yeah.
Very, very old breed. And there is the story, oh gosh, I forget the dog's name, but he heard the owner leaving the castle and he jumped out the window after the owner. You know, and then there's also the tale about knights, in that if a knight was killed in battle, he would have a lion on his tombstone. But if he was killed at home while relaxing, they would put a Lochen on his tombstone.
Oh my gosh. Now that I never heard.
Yeah.
The story that I heard, why they were popular with the sort of ladies of the world in Germany, was that they would sleep on the bed and collect the fleas. I just thought that was fabulous.
Yes. Yep. And they are still flea catchers to this day. I mean, my husband will tell you, they love to nibble in his beard. You know, he has a long beard, and Beatrice just nuzzles in there and like nibbles on him, and they clean him. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Dealer, when we banded him, I put him up in green bands, right? Mm-hmm. And so Kim called him Marvin the Martian.
That's a good one.
It was awesome.
I like that.
It was totally awesome.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Oh my God. Okay. So what was, you must know, the purpose for why they were shaved into a lion trim?
It's because of the name. So Lochen means little lion dog. So they shaved them in the shape of a lion.
Okay. And so they have bracelets on the back legs and on the front legs.
Yep. And you just shave about a half of the front leg, just below the elbow. So that's about it. And there's no scissoring.
Right. Shave a little bit on the tail.
Yep, exactly. You shave the tail halfway, and then the jacket goes to the last rib.
Right.
And in Europe, they like the fringe on the hocks to be a little bit higher and above the hock. But in the States, we shave it straight to the hock.
Right. I shaved it to the hock. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. And they come in a huge variety of colors.
Oh, yeah. They are tie-dyed. I mean, for days. Days. Anything you want. You want a brindle one. You want a brown one. You want a black one, a white one, party color, gold, sable. It's all there.
I'm telling you, the one I first fell in love with was like a chocolate brown. I swear I was going to steal it from this lady and take it home and put it on my pillow. That was it. I was done.
Yeah. I love the sables. I mean, that sable, they look like a lion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. And so when you are living with them, they're small. They weigh
15 pounds. Yeah, something like that. They do like to eat. So, you know, 15 pounds, somewhere around there. But yeah, I mean, they're super clean. They're easy to travel with. They go in about a 200 crate, so they don't take up that much space. They're just great, great little dogs. Not huge barkers, but my guys did not get that memo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always when you have multiples.
Right. The one I had a mouth. I will say that. Okay. And so then the next piece, just as owners out there in the world who are missing out on the greatest little lap dog known to man, truly,
they're cool.
They really are. They're cool. These dogs, health-wise, talk to us about health issues.
So as a breeder, we test eyes, and we do test hips, and we test knees.
Okay.
Not many heart problems in the breed, but we do look for PRA, which is progressive retinal atrophy, and we do not have a genetic test for that yet. However, the breeders in this breed are very open. This is one of the few breeds where people willingly and publicly share information all the time. So when a famous dog or anybody's dog comes up with PRA, they usually make a social media post about it in a Lochen group so that all the other breeders know that circle that dog in your pedigree. So we know
so be
to
aware.
Breed away from it. Yeah. And that's, I think, one reason why it's helped the breed even survive.
Right. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Okay, crew. I hear it pretty much every day now. I love Pure Dog Talk. And that makes my heart happy, because I love doing it. I started hosting Pure Dog Talk as a way to reach out to members of our community with education and resources to enable you to succeed and move forward in your goals and ambitions. And your response has been literally overwhelming. The podcast has been downloaded well over 250,000 times to date. That's incredible. All of this information is free to exhibitors around the world at the touch of a button. But here's the reality check. Money really does make the world go round, guys. So I created a special patrons group. This funding source helps cover the expenses of audio editing and website hosting and technology and like that. Patrons keep Pure Dog Talk's fountain of knowledge flowing freely. And like the NPR of dogdom, our patrons support Pure Dog Talk with monthly gifts. We even offer advertising and sponsorship opportunities that you guys may not have known about. So drop me a note, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll let you know how you can help share the love. And so I think that's kind of important. Every breed has its, you know, the club, the people involved with the breed. Every breed sort of has, if you will, its imprimatur. You know, the Corso people are one thing, the wire hair people are one thing, the Clumber people are one thing. The Laotian people that I encountered were adorable. They were lovely.
They're really good people. They're fun. They're really open and very honest about their breeding stock and extremely willing to help. I mean, I have two incredible mentors, Jillian Robertson, who was Bihar Kennel and mm-hmm. now Tapestry, mm-hmm. and Donna Jones, who right. is Music Box. And both of them, I mean, they took me under their wing and told me everything, the good, bad, and the ugly, and still to this day, you know, help me answer my questions, let me bounce ideas off them. They look at trial pedigrees for me. I mean, they are amazing people. And everybody that's old, not old in age, but experienced, has been like that.
Nice. So if I want to buy a Laotian and there's only 80 registered in the country in a year, how do we do that? How does that go?
Yeah. So the wait, there's going to be a wait. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a big part of why there aren't more out there mm-hmm. in the pet owning public.
Right.
Because people do have to wait. I would say at least a year is about a normal wait. Wow. For a puppy.
Okay.
I had to wait just over a year, and most of my puppy people have to wait about a year. And so that can be tough for people looking for a pet because mm-hmm. other breeds are much more readily available. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the LaotianClubOfAmerica.org, there is a great breeder referral list. And one thing that we do as breeders, if we have a bunch of people on the wait list, maybe we only had 3 puppies or 4 puppies and we have 6 people, we do let other breeders know and let our puppy owners know and try and push them so that they can get a dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have noticed the quicker we can get Laotian in people's hands, the better off and more likely they are to get another one, to start showing, etc. Right. So that's always a priority, is getting the dogs out there.
And do you find a lot now? I know in my breed, what we call retirement dogs, right? Like, it's finished its show career. We've bred it a couple times. It's got its field titles. We have 8 wire hair pointers. Nobody wants 8 wire hair pointers.
Yeah.
You know, we have available adult dogs as retirement animals on a pretty regular basis. How is that in the Laotian breed?
They're available. They're available. I only have 4 Laotian right now. I have my 2 girls, Beatrice and Gracie Lou, and then 2 Beatrice daughters, Sparkle and Birdie. At this point, Beatrice and Gracie Lou, Beep's retired. She's not going anywhere.
Right.
Gracie Lou probably won't either. Now, Sparkle, maybe. Right. I don't know.
Right. So that's something that's kind of out there as a maybe.
Yeah, yeah. They live forever, though. It is not uncommon for Lo Chen to live to be 17, 18 years old.
But see, I think that's an amazing selling point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that's really awesome. You purchase a pet, you're going to have it for 15, 16, 17 years. That's pretty impressive as a, if you will, a marketing tool, right? Like, tell people about this amazing breed because they live forever.
Right. I mean, yeah, they're like parrots, you know? Wow. You might have to bequeath them.
I would like to be bequeathed a Lauchen, please.
I mean, you never know.
Well, I know.
Yeah. I mean, it is a good selling point, too, for people that need to rehome retired bitches, retired dogs. Because even if they are done at five, six years old, you've got at least another 9 to 10 years.
Right.
And a healthy 9 to 10 years more. They are really resilient little buggers. So,
and that's pretty impressive. And as we both talked about, they live with your Kinne Corso, so they're not fragile.
Gosh, no. No, they are out there running the yard, chasing the Corsos, chewing on sticks next to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are not afraid. And knock on wood, nobody's gotten hurt. So I don't know if that speaks to the Corso or the Lo Chen, but they can argue.
Okay. So then my next thing to think about is, you know, you own a Laotian, you want to breed a Laotian. You say they maybe have two or three puppies. And I followed some of Donna's breeding on social media and some of that stuff. So do they have reproductive problems, or it's just sort of a breed thing, or what is it that is causing that sort of bottleneck, if you will?
I don't know. And I've talked to Jillian about this at length. You know, she does seem to think that the very tight line breeding that was done to save the breed right after the war could play a part in our small litters. Mm-hmm. Now, Lochin breed naturally. That is the best way to breed them, not doing chilled semen. All the litters I've had have all been through natural breedings. And like I said, I typically get 3 to 4 puppies. So once they're bred, so far, they take really easily. Mm-hmm. So, and they're natural, they're free whelpers.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, pretty much sign me up because this
They're awesome.
So talk a little bit more about the coat, because I know that that is something that people look at all that fluff and say, oh my God. And you can say tracking one day, wash them the next day, all you want. But
yeah,
not everybody's going to sign up for that course. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I shave down the retired girls. I mean, they're shaved down in a modified lion clip. So we leave a little bit of hair on the bum. I leave the little bracelets, but the mane and the head is definitely clipped down. And I've seen some of my puppy owners do some beautiful, beautiful grooming on those dogs. And they keep them in a puppy clip where they have hair all over. And they're just gorgeous. I mean, it's almost not quite as easy to sculpt, I think, as a Bichon, but they're more fun and they're multicolored.
Right. They're multicolored. And the hair is interesting. You have kind of a blend of undercoat and outer coat. It's not all one texture.
Right. Right. When you look at the strands, you're going to see the different textures mixed in. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the party colors, the black and whites, are a little bit more curly and more cottony. The white coats, I would say, are probably the most difficult to deal with because they do tend to be very cottony and they do mat. The blacks, the sables, those tend to have a much easier to manage coat texture.
That's good to know because Dealer was kind of a, I don't even know what you would call him, golden white, basically.
Okay, so he was a party sable.
Yeah, that hair was not a lot of fun, I have to tell you, in a damp climate. So.
Oh, yeah, because he's
maintaining a show coat and, you know, all of that. So interesting. Good to know that the coat color makes a difference in coat quality.
It can. It can. So it just depends. That is the one thing that we cannot tell as puppies. You cannot tell how good quality the coat is going to be at 8 weeks old. You really don't see it. Yeah. You really don't see it until after that coat change happens.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
And so just as a final sort of a finish up on like the greatest best kept secret in dogdom, talk to us about lotion in performance events of various and sundry types.
So you will most likely see a lotion doing agility. They are known as phenomenal agility competitors. In fact, the dog that won, I believe it's second place in the 12-inch class at the Royal Canin Agility Championship was a lotion.
Nice.
Named Dino. And he also just got his Och title. And he has a mock, I don't even know, like a mock 2000, you know.
2012. Okay.
Yeah. He's got a major mock titles.
Okay.
And so there's the top five agility lochen competitors for the Yukonuba Championship for agility is super competitive because there's a lot of lochen that are trying to get in and they're really good. So that's probably the sport where you're going to see them the most. But they're also great obedience dogs, great rally dogs. They love barn hunt, and I do IPO tracking with them as well.
Fun. I feel like they could do scent work and some of that stuff.
Yeah, there is one that has a bunch of titles in nose work as well.
Right,
yeah,
right. Very cool. I'm not sure I could see them doing dock diving, but
oh my gosh, there is Queen Nadia.
Oh.
Queen Nadia is famous. While she doesn't compete in dock diving, her pool pictures are pretty epic. If you look online and you find a lochen in purple with a unicorn horn sculpted out of her head hair, that's Queen Nadia. And she is owned by Kat and Rhonda of Sylvan Miss Lochen. And that one, she's famous.
Oh my God. That is fabulous.
I'll include pictures of her.
Definitely need pictures of that for the blog. That is amazing.
Nadia is my spirit animal.
So I'll include links on the blog for Lotion Club of America. Where else will people go to find more information about this? Is there a lotion rescue or do you even need rescue? Because there's only 80 of them.
Pretty much. Yep.
Oh my
gosh. We don't really have rescue for our breed because it's not necessary. But there are some really cool international websites. There's a great resource called thelochenworld.com. Awesome.
So you'll send me these links.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll send you all this stuff.
Excellent. All right. Well, Alexia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Laura.
I am so excited to help save the lochen because I think they are like the coolest little dogs in the world. I really do.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.